ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Food Truck and Catering in Sullivan. As usual in the studio is my co-host and producer, Colin Fisher. You can join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on Mid-Mo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. And as always, if you got something you'd like to add to the show, give us a call at 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. This first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. And right now you can pre-order your propane for the winter. Working with Peterson Oil is a blast.
Yeah, you talk about pre-ordering your propane. Today you step outside and you'll
think about it.
Yeah, you'll see why.
Yes. Well, I know last week, I don't know if you guys noticed that we had a recorded show, but... And that is because Colin and I had the privilege to get to go up to Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was the Kansas Speedway.
Yes. And we went to the American Royal. And for those of you that don't know what that is what they classify as a Super Bowl of barbecue cook-offs.
Yeah, when you drive in to the Speedway, there's a big sign that literally says the American Royal World Series of Barbecue.
And I'll tell you what, you know, when we were driving in, it was kind of strange in a way. When we got it within a mile of the Speedway, you could start smelling smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen it on TV a few times, and it looked massive to me. But, folks, unless you go up there and actually witness it, you have no idea.
Yeah, the scope is just – it's kind of like when people try to tell you the size of something or the distance of something, after a certain point, it just becomes, you know, negligible.
Yeah.
And you don't really get it. It's like the difference between, you know, 25 and 30 miles for me, if I'm walking, doesn't seem like it's hard for me to estimate that, like, line of sight wise. And then when you're in there and you're looking around, the scale of this event until you're sitting in it,
right,
is just incomparable.
And let me tell you, we had an absolute blast. We were able to do some interviews with some very well-known big-name barbecue stars, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it was really amazing how easy it was to get to talk to people that were, you know, of celebrity caliber.
Right. Well, I mean, that, you know, and we go back to that again. It's the family.
It's such a unique event because a lot of people do classify it as a sport, and in some extents I do agree. And you think about any other sport, if you were going to some event like this that were somehow comparable, just in, all right, you're gonna have 100 different teams, several hundred teams of world-class professional you know, athletes or cooks or what have you. The people that we got to talk to, that would be as though we were able to go up and, you know, talk to Albert Pujols, talk to
right.
LeBron James.
Yeah, and you know, we're not talking just everyday cooks. We're talking one lady was a 5- or 6-time world champion. We talked to another guy that got inducted into Hall of Fame.
Yep, that day.
That day. We talked to the champions of the cook, you know, this
of the
year.
Royal, yeah.
And they could have been, you know, like you said, they could have snubbed us, but no, they open arms. It's just like, yeah, when do you want me there or whatever.
What I found was amazing was there were so many people that you and I were really excited to talk to, and we're like, oh, we got to try to get an interview with these people, and they almost felt honored to be on the show.
Right. And you know, afterwards, the thing that, I mean, made me feel good about you and I about this thing was a lot of them commented on how easy the interview was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we'd known each other for years, which to a certain extent, I guess you could say we have because we're, you know, we're in the barbecue community.
Sure. And I think just about everyone remarked at some point about how the Royal is not just the Mac Daddy of barbecue competitions, but it is, you know, one of the biggest family reunions in the world.
Yes, they sure did. It's like they all look forward to coming here because they're gonna see friends from, you know, they cooked against.
Yeah, people they only see once or twice a year.
Right. And, you know, we even got to, you know, interview some international teams.
Yeah,
which
couple.
And so, you know, for the next 13, 14 weeks.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of content. We may have to double up on some of those.
We may have to, but we got to, I think, the prime interviews. You know, because they were so relaxed with us. So we're planning on playing one a week for the next however, till we run out. But then hopefully by then when we run out, it won't be long and we're going to plan on going to the World Championships.
Sure. And what I'm really going to try to do, because we got several business cards, and I also managed to talk to three of at least four. Basically, I went over and talked to a couple of barbecue teams, and I found one called Meet Me in St. Louis. And I thought, all right, well, St. Louis is just down the road. We've had Jeff Fitter on, stuff
right.
like that. So I went and asked, would they have any interest in coming on as guests someday? And they said, oh, sure. And they gave me their contact info, and then they pointed down the line of stalls and said, those three teams are from St. Louis as well. So I got three phone numbers, business cards and whatnot for some people that we could have on. So there's plenty of content to be had, and with some of the other phone numbers we got, I'm going to, you know, just pester the heck out of these people until we can get them to call in or something.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think we're going to have that hard a time getting them to come on. You know, when you could tell, too, that when we were doing the interviews, the passion that they've got.
Certainly. And that's one of the other things is, you know, talking about the scope of people. And obviously, everyone that we interviewed was there. There were a couple that were there only for the Open, but most of them were there because they were in the invitational component of the American Royal, meaning they are pretty, you know, top-tier barbecue.
Well, and to get into the invitational, the only way you can do that is you had to take a grand champion in a competition.
Right. So they're pretty proven they've earned their stripes.
Yes.
But what I found interesting was even between people that you may not have heard of as much, that haven't been on TV, that aren't in the Hall of Fame, that haven't won world championships year after year, and the people that have, the people with all those accolades, the quality of the content, the quality of the passion and the drive and some of the depth of knowledge, because everyone has some part of barbecue that they just know better than anyone else.
Right.
And so just across that spectrum, it would be like if you went to interview a little league baseball player and a major league baseball player, and they both gave you an equally interesting interview.
And what was great too is we asked them for some tips. You know, we got listeners out there just getting started. I'll take some of the tips if I, you know, it's going to help me.
Yeah, certainly.
And they never hesitated one bit.
They
were willing to share their information.
It seemed like most of them kind of had an answer in their back pocket because they've thought about it.
Yeah.
This is not the first time they've been asked. This isn't the first time they've thought about, okay, how can we get people into barbecue? And that was what I loved so much was that most of them were so focused on making sure that barbecue gets to continue on, making
right.
sure that more people get into barbecue, that kids get into barbecue, than how they were doing. There were so many of those people that could have cared less how they were doing in the competition and did not care if they won another competition in their life, but they were so excited about the kids' queue and what that meant and the backyard competitions
yes.
because that meant more people coming into barbecue. That meant barbecue could grow and be sustained.
And let me tell you, we found some very interesting names down there. I mean, it's amazing. These people must have stayed up at night to think of these names.
I do not know. Like, ever since then, I've been trying to think of something, and that bolt of lightning just has not struck yet.
No. And we've seen some very interesting-looking pits down there. There was one was an old freight train.
Yeah.
And then we seen this bull that was
I think everyone we talked to at some point or another said, oh, have you seen the bull?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, we went over there to see it. And it is interesting because you'll walk by it. Well, I did not know that the guy had a switch.
Yeah.
And when you got too close, that bull would moo at you. And at first, if you're not thinking about it, when that does that, it takes you back. But then, you know, it was a pretty good joke.
Yeah, well, your mind's not ready for that. You're like, oh, look at this sculpture of it. Wait a minute. That reminds me, I was in some rest area, a little convenience store in around the New Mexico area, and stopped by, and they had a bunch of those just open up glass doors for the refrigerated products, Gatorade, soda, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there was a whole door just dedicated to, you know, milk, chocolate milk, that kind of stuff. And whenever you opened it up, they had a button hooked up and it would moo at you.
Yeah, that'll get your attention.
I dragged every one of my family members over to show them.
And just kept fanning the door.
Yep.
And I got to say that, you know, KCBS put on a great show.
And just a quick shout out to KCBS. I cannot imagine having been more accommodated. The KCBS took care of us.
Oh, absolutely.
They bent over backwards to make sure we had a place, that we got chairs, we had people that were offering us tables. Everybody was just, and, you know, yeah, we had media passes, but we were more or less interlopers. We just kind of came, showed up like, hey, where do we set up? And none of them batted an eye. They were like, well, you can go right here.
Yeah. And the great part, too, was, you know, we were outside. It was hot.
Oh, Lord.
Let me tell you, that sun coming off the building, off to the back curtain and everything.
Yeah, we basically set ourselves up with a sauna. I have a black laptop, and, you know, obviously when a laptop is running, it gets warm.
Right.
Well, when it's got the sun beating down on it from a couple different angles and being reflected and that kind of stuff, it gets almost too hot to touch.
Well, and the people were great because where the judges were was air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. They had basically on the Kansas Speedway, I'd take it these were the garages for the vehicles.
Right.
And they had cracked the garage doors on one side and hooked up industrial AC units to just blow through. And you walked into this building and it was, oh, glorious.
And the great part was, you know, they come along and they seen how bad we were sweating and how hot we were, so they like actually cracked the door where it could blow mm-hmm. some of that cool air on us. So
yeah, and one of the teams across from us gave Bunny a couple of cold rags to throw on our necks.
Right. So, all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and coming up in segment two, we are going to be actually joined by Rich and Bunny Tuttle, and we're going to continue this conversation about the Royal. So make sure you stay tuned to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we will be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
The whole point of this country is if you want to eat garbage, balloon up to 600 pounds, and die of a heart attack at 43, you can. You are free to do so. To me, that's beautiful.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by the Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. Huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, anytime. Well, we are back when segment two here. We're still going to be talking about the Royal, but we're lucky enough to be joined by our friends.
And gracious hosts.
And gracious hosts over the weekend. And you guys probably recognize them. They're going to start being a
staple.
Intimate part of our show. It's Rich and Bunny Tuttle. Welcome, folks.
Hello. Thank you. Sorry I was a little late. I was in there finishing off that Jameson.
Oh, boy. Well, there wasn't a whole lot left, was there?
Actually, I got somebody's name on it. Wait for him for next time.
Oh, there you go. Well, we've been sitting here talking about, you know, the way the Royal just amazed Colin and I. You know, I've seen it on TV. I've never personally seen it till this weekend. And, you know, it just totally amazes how people were so receptive to having the interviews done. You know,
you got some powerhouses, too. I mean, you got some powerhouses. But what I look at is like every single person down there
is a powerhouse to me because they go down to have fun, enjoy their family, and have a lot of great camaraderie.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's certain sponsors that come down there. They go all out for them, for the cookers, too, on a Friday night.
Yeah. I couldn't count how many times I saw the name Smithfield.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
they're a big part of it, you know? And they've got some great stuff. If anybody has never tried their meats, they need to try them. Their pork and their ribs are awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and I can't imagine what that event would have looked like without them.
Right. Well,
yeah.
And you know, I've told people over and over to buy Smithfield ribs because those are some meaty ribs. They're absolutely fantastic in flavor once you cook them up. And so, you know, I seen that and I thought, you know, this is great. You know, I've heard about it, experienced it. It's a whole new level.
You'll find that a lot with the different grades. A lot of people, when they first start out, don't realize the different grades of meat. Like, I saw you talking to Tuffy.
Right.
I don't know how much you got into, like, selecting meats with him or if you did, but he really knows how to pick out the meats.
No, we actually never got to that part because we were busy talking about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had some other stuff on his mind at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. To me, he's one of the most humblest people I've ever met, and yet he's so good, and it never goes to his head. And he's got an open heart. I just love this guy. He's just awesome.
Well, that was one of the funniest things is we were in the middle of another interview when he made his way over, and he pulled up a chair, and he just sat down, and this soon-to-be Hall of Fame barbecuer was just sitting there like, oh, I hope I'm not interrupting. I hope I'm not in the way.
Yeah, and yeah. We're the one that was thrilled to death to have him there. You know?
You guys got Myron, you got Tuffy, you got Melissa Cookson, you got Slab.com Stephanie Wilson. And by the way, I know how you are about shout-outs, but I got to give to her sister Valerie kudos for that charcuterie board. That was awesome.
For that what?
The charcuterie board.
The charcuterie board that she had down there in the gin bucket.
Yeah.
You were down there. You didn't get in the gin.
No.
Nope. I'm sorry. I did.
No, you.
I was going to bring one up to call him, but I think he had his fill. So, anyway, that charcuterie board was to die for.
They had a lot of food there. I'm telling you. And, you know, the neat part was, too, Rod Gray. You know, when we went up to him and asked if he wanted to do an interview, yeah, no problem. So he came up there, and we were having some technical problems. He goes, you know what? I'll be back in 10 minutes. And there he was. I thought, well, he's gone. He's not coming back. Sure enough, there he was, you know.
Keep his word. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. The only one we didn't get to get was Myron.
Oh, I thought you did get Myron.
Well, we had him up there, and he said, well, I got to go do something. I'll be back in 20 minutes. So the 20 minutes went by. He never showed up. We seen him walking.
He got into his bourbon, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. He looked a little glassy-eyed. But anyhow.
Well, to his credit, there was quite a bit going on that was probably a bit more interesting than sitting in the sun.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Although Myron has so many fans out there, it's hard for him to walk through a crowd. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
I respected. Do what?
He's a very respected man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and I was thrilled to death to get Melissa. And plus we got Smoking Hills, you know, the ones that won the Royal 1 year, plus the food, World Food. Very good interview. You know, our listeners are really going to be blessed when they listen in and hear these interviews.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun month. You guys got some great interviews down there. You know, you were saying that it was such an impression on you that everyone was so gracious to give up their time. That's just the way barbecue people are. I mean, we're not, you know, it's a family, and we just spreading the word. I mean, everybody, who doesn't love barbecue, you know?
Well, that's it.
People who don't, we blackball them, so, you know.
There you go. You know, and okay, you know, you're talking about gracious. You and Buddy opened your home up to me and Colin, you know, and it just, you know, I know we've known each other for a little while and stuff like that, but still, just the way that, you know, that went down and stuff, it was, you know, a blessing to us.
Yeah, some people lent us a table. You guys lent us a bed.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I haven't stayed up 1:30 in the morning in a long, long time. I had a blast talking to you guys and really getting to know you, Colin.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of that Jamesons, you really started opening up.
Yeah, that'll grease the lock a bit.
But hey guys, speaking of sitting in the sun, we need to make sure that we've got a portable canopy next year.
Yeah, it will.
We've got one. We just didn't bring it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and we've got two that we can lend you. They're 2 6x6s, and they're, especially if it started raining, we'd have been in trouble.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been too good.
Yeah, you know, the bad part, sitting there in that sun that day, I wound up with 2 sunburned lips. And let me tell you, that's painful, let me tell you.
I know.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't think of this sooner, but after the judging was all over, that building behind us was totally open. So for our last couple of interviews, we just moved inside.
That's a great idea.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I was thinking about that for next year, but I was wondering if we could somehow clear out that back room that was air-conditioned we kept jumping into.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was enough space in there over in the back corner. I was just worried about sitting right next to the AC.
Well, we're gonna plan on doing some things, you know, with interviews and stuff. You know, maybe have some giveaways, have some little ESPN footballs or something like that.
Yeah, we'll get some cards, some stickers, that kind of stuff.
Right. We're gonna be a little more prepared.
Everybody loves stickers.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Rich and I were thrilled to get our Venmo smoke show.
Say that fast 3 times.
Shout out to Matt. Love my jersey.
Well, you know, you guys do so much for us because, I mean, when we knew we were coming up there, you guys took the reins, got us our media passes, got us up there and helped, you know, get things organized and stuff like that. You have no idea how much that really, really helped us. So I want to thank you for that.
Helped us. We got to just kind of party because we usually, a lot of times, we don't get to party because we're working. And we kind of just got to party, and it gave us a real good excuse to have a beer once in a while. And I loved it. I loved just walking around. And of course, Rich thought he kind of got a big head walking around with that Menmo Smoke Show shirt on. Everybody thought he was radio guy.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I counted like at least 3 or 4 people that just, they saw the ESPN banner and they just stopped and took a picture. They had no idea what we were there for.
Yeah.
That's one reason I'd like to keep you guys outside. It's an attraction.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Well, and it's like we got the people from the Turkey Federation to come do the show.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
And the one gal, she said, "I am not doing it." I said, "Well, you can tell your friends you're on ESPN." She looked out and seen our backdrop. She goes, "All right, I'm in." So
there you go. It didn't take much to twist her arm.
No, but you know, but I don't think it would have took much anyhow. Like you said, they're great people, and we had just so much fun with you guys. And I'm hoping you guys are going to be at the World Championship so we can hang out some more. You know.
Hey, that sounds good to me. I will not judge. I'll just party again, but. Maybe one of you guys, well, I don't know, you're not CBJ's, are you?
Not yet.
Yeah, one of them.
Well, one of you ought to get in there and judge the thing.
I tell you what.
Your experience on the show.
Yeah, I tell you what, after seeing some of those entries go by us, yeah, I think I'm sold on becoming a judge. Lyle and I were talking about.
Let's get a certified barbecue judge school down in your area.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, Jonesboro, Arkansas, that we've mentioned several times.
Next week,
they are going to, they are now 100% CBJ. So proud of Paul and his work that he's done down there. They're the ones with the big bands, and you said you've heard what band they're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Smash Mouth was going down there.
Yeah, but, you know, they're all CBJs now, and they could use a few more CBJs, so I'm sure we could pull some people up from Memphis around that area to get them up there in your area to have a certified barbecue judge class.
Yeah, and I did not know that there was such a thing as a master judge until last weekend.
And then they go on from there to do 100 plus, 200 plus.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, hey, can you guys stick around? We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll keep talking about the Royal.
Well, I tell you what, Kalyle, I'm not going to be able to stick around. I hate to do that to you, but I'm on my way to pick up my brothers to go visit my cousin up in Cameron, and I'm supposed to pick them up at 9:30.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you're going to be a little late, but hey, well, thanks for joining us, guys, and I guess we'll talk to you late next week probably.
That sounds great. Yeah. We'll be down there.
We'll be a man on the scene down in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
All righty.
Awesome.
Well, all right. Thanks a lot, guys, and have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And coming up in segment three, we are going to hear on the barbecue societies around us. So make sure you keep your dial right here on 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is on ESPN 107.3.
I have the...
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, my co-host, Colin Fisher. And this is the third segment, so we are going to talk about what's going on in the barbecue society in our area. And that is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And I'm not sure there's any competitions going on today, is there?
Today, let's see. Yeah, we've got just one. It's the Table Rock Boats and Bones. We've been talking about that the last couple weeks.
Right.
It's your KCBS reps are Dave Rogers and Peg Rogers, and you got $7,000 in prize money. And then let's see, last competition of this month in Missouri will be the Smoking in the Golden Valley in Clinton, Missouri. That's a state championship with $5,000 in prize money. And then on into next month, we've got Holmes Drywall Supply Barbecue Cook-Off Invitational Only Grilling Series in Kansas City. And does not list a prize, but that will be the 2nd and 3rd of next month. And then the 5th and 6th of next month will be Independence Fire and Ice Barbecue in Independence, Missouri. That's another state championship. $12,750 in prize money.
Now, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty chunk of change. And Bunny and Rich will be KCBS reps down there.
There you go. So,
yeah, if you're in the Independence area and you feel like meeting Rich and Bunny, they're a blast.
Oh, they are. They are so neat, so laid back. And, you know, they just care about the barbecue world. They want people to succeed. And, you know, we're talking about this barbecue. I got to give a shout-out to Josh at Yummy Tummy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do this real quick before I forget. My daughter, who's down in Springfield, and you guys all heard me talk about her, well, she got on this new thing. It's called a barbecue chicken pizza. I don't know who supplies it or anything else.
I think that's a variety that a lot of people, you can get it DiGiorno, you can get it from pretty much any pizza place, Domino's, Pizza Hut.
Well, anyhow, she has it delivered, and, you know, I went down there Wednesday to see her and took her a few bottles of Yummy Tummy, and she was just thrilled to death because she had been out, and...
what a tragedy.
It is. And I told her, I said, well, we're going to start buying it by the gallon for you. Because I think she'd eat it on her cereal if it just, you know, would just sit there. But anyhow, when she gets this pizza, she pours her a small bowl of the Yummy Tummy original and dips her pizza in it. And she goes, Dad, that is just the one thing that puts everything over the top, that Yummy Tummy. And like I said, I think she'd probably put it on her oatmeal if she could justify it. So...
Yeah,
Josh,
like I said, when we first tried that Inferno sauce, I was like, oh, anybody got a spoon?
Oh, I know. And I took it down there to her. And and it's kind of comical. She had two friends down there that had not tried it because she's been out.
Yeah.
So she breaks the bottle open and just lets them touch the cap because she's not going to get, you know, get rid of too much of her sauce.
Yeah, it's a precious commodity.
So her one friend tasted at and just loved it. So we're sitting there visiting, and all of a sudden, she come in a little while, and she's got a little bowl like you would put ice cream in or something.
Sure.
And in that bowl is some yummy tummy sauce, and she has two pieces of French bread. She's dipping it in the sauce and eating it. And she, I mean, she's hooked. So
I wonder, like, what yummy tummy doesn't go well on.
I haven't found anything.
It's probably a short list.
Yeah. I'm going to be truthful. I made a mistake one day. I made me some bacon and eggs, and I like...
Where's the mistake here?
Well, I know. Like, clicking with my arteries hardening.
Ah.
But I like to put A1 steak sauce on it.
Okay.
And by accident, I grabbed a yummy tummy. So it's not a mistake, but it was just an accident.
Yeah, just like penicillin was a mistake.
Yeah. And I poured that on there, and I'm sorry. There's no more steak sauce. It's yummy tummy. And I had the inferno on that stuff with bacon. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bacon's good anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I just wanted to let Josh know about that. So maybe, you know, he can.
Seems like every week we've got a new shout out for Josh.
It is.
And a new idea, too.
Well, you know, and there's that old saying, it's hard to improve on perfection. And to me, that sauce just has it all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Inferno. I mean, I know a lot of people can't deal with that, but that's okay. There's the original. They can handle that.
And I feel like in terms of heat, that the Inferno, it's not like an oppressive heat.
So no.
It's not one that's going to keep burning your mouth. It'll be a good bite, and then, you know, it'll have mercy.
Yeah. And it's a wake-up call for your taste buds is what it is.
Yeah.
And so...
So while we were talking about the barbecue societies, I figured what we could go over, since we did get to sit down and chat with one of these gentlemen, was talk about our 2018 inductees into the Barbecue Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And first and foremost, you've got Mr. Tuffy Stone, who really needs no introduction. Some people know him as the professor. He's, I love how this says, an occasional reality television star.
He's yeah.
Classically trained chef. I did not know this. A former Marine. Champion pitmaster, businessman, and he said he was, you know, classically trained in French culinary technique, and then he tried, just wanted to shake things up, tried out barbecue. It says,
well, he
2004 he attended his first barbecue competition, and the common phrase that I keep seeing is hooked.
Yep.
And everyone, they just go to try it. They're like, oh, I'll just try doing a barbecue competition, and boom, they're hooked.
Oh, once you try it, you're in there.
Yeah. And I think one of the other pieces of advice that most of our interviews touched on was, when you go in there, do not expect to just go in and win your first competition.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. But unless you sit there with a bag over your head, someone is going to give you advice, they'll talk to you, they'll point something out, and you will come away better than you went in.
Absolutely.
And you'll learn.
Well, I did. You know, some of the, you know, like Butcher's Barbecue, he's got some great advice for people about.
Yeah, he was a.
You know, and so did Tuffy. And folks, I'm telling you what, when you hear the names that we got coming up, a lot of you, if you follow the Barbecue Pitmasters, are going to know these names.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we swept through about as much of that lineup as we could get.
Absolutely. And, you know, and then we had, you know, had some locals there. We also got we wonder what happens to all the meat when your competitions are done, and what have the guys got left over. It's really going to interest you there, too, because it is not thrown away. It is donated to help feed families.
Yeah, I really like the sustainability that, you know, because barbecue, when you go there and you see that much food, you can see a bit of excess. You can see how people would look at it and go, okay, this is kind of ridiculous. But none of it goes to waste.
Not a bit.
And that I really appreciate. And it seems that just about any competition you go to, either they're selling it and then donating the proceeds, or they're giving the food to first responders, policemen.
Right.
Or in this case, they're donating it to food pantries, and they're making sure that it goes. It's you know, the barbecue has more of a cause than just great food.
Absolutely. And I was really surprised to learn that they actually had a refrigerated truck on the premises.
Yep.
And
picked it right up.
They took and loaded it into the truck so it could get cooled and frozen. And
yeah, they take excellent care of this stuff.
Yes, they do. So, you know, shout out to KCBS for allowing that to happen. That, you know, it's just,
yeah,
every time you bring up something about the barbecue area, the barbecue family, it's not a take thing, it's a give thing.
Yeah, there's something new to make you smile.
Yes. And some of them people there, you know, like I said, you're going to smile anyhow when you hear the interviews. There was a couple of them just gave me an, you know, all around warm fuzzy feeling, because, you know, these celebrities, it's not like they're, you know, this was their first rodeo. They knew what they were doing, and they took the time for us when we told them, you know, you and me, we've only been doing this for a little while and stuff, and they were more than happy to help us. And so, you know, I hope our listeners will take some of the advice that we got coming up for them from mm-hmm. these guys and put it into play.
Yeah.
Because and actually get involved in some competitions, even if it's the backyard, go for it.
I would say, from my experience this week, even if you don't plan on cooking, even if you don't know the first thing about cooking, which is a group I fall into, go to a competition.
Yes. Because
it's just fun.
Yes, it is.
And real quick, while we still got some time here, I want to shout out the two other Barbecue Hall of Fame inductees. You've got Tootsie Tominets. I believe they own Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, Texas, and it's been called the best Texas barbecue in the world. And then by the New Yorker in its article, by Meat Alone, and she is 82 years old, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the other one is Charlie Virgos, and it says, it all started in 1948. At the time, Charlie Virgos co-owned a Meat and Three restaurant called Wimpy's with his brother-in-law. At the time, ribs were scrap meat. Ribs had been a staple of backyard barbecues in Memphis neighborhoods for years, but not used in restaurants. So Charlie took a chance and came up with his own formula, still used today. Threw the racks in 18 inches from the fire and grilled them for an hour and 15 minutes to seal in the flavor. From that moment on, Memphis-style ribs were created, and it became the standard and changed the world of barbecue forever.
Well, there you go. Those people definitely had the experience.
Certainly.
Okay, we're going to take another break, but make sure you don't go anywhere, because when we come back, Colin has one of the award-winning recipes from a competition. And so you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we will be right back.
This is the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I am starving. I haven't had lunch since yesterday.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm your host, Lyle Quast, and along with my co-host, Colin Fisher. And this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply and Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And now it's time for this week's recipe of the week, and it's brought to you by Chimber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years and available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And Colin has got the recipe, but folks, this is an award-winning recipe mm-hmm. from the, I guess, one of the Royals or something.
It was the... Let's see, the champion of grill competition in Sussex County, New Jersey.
Okay, well, there you go. And go ahead, take it away, Colin.
So this recipe is on Stephen Raiklin's barbecuebible.com, and it's posted by a user named Ian Gross, and he posts the recipe as well as a couple of tweaks that he made. So I'll read off the recipe first. You're going to need a loaf or a pound of brioche cut into 1-inch cubes, which is about 8 cups, 3 cups of heavy whipping cream, 2 cups whole milk, 1.5 cups sugar, pinch of salt, 1 vanilla bean. Optional for an even smokier flavor, use a smoked vanilla bean, 8 ounces of bittersweet chocolate, coarsely chopped, 4 large eggs, 2 large egg yolks, 1 teaspoon pure vanilla extract, 1.5 teaspoons if not using the vanilla bean, butter for buttering the skillet, and then some smoked ice cream. Use vanilla for serving, optional. So you're going to set up your smoker following the manufacturer's instructions and preheat to 225 to 250. Add the wood as specified by the manufacturer. Arrange the brioche cubes in a single layer in an aluminum foil pan and place in the smoker. Smoke, stirring occasionally so the cubes smoke evenly until firm and toasted, 30 to 45 minutes. Meanwhile, make the custard. Place the cream, milk, sugar, and salt in a heavy saucepan. Cut the vanilla bean, if you're using it, in half lengthwise, and scrape the tiny black seeds into the cream. Then add the vanilla bean halves. Bring to a boil over medium heat, whisking until the sugar dissolves. Remove the pan from the heat. Remove the vanilla bean halves. You can rinse, dry, and reuse them. Whisk in half of the chocolate until melted. Then return the pan to low heat if the chocolate needs help melting. Place the eggs, egg yolks, and vanilla extract, if you're using it, in a large heat-proof bowl and whisk until smooth. Gradually whisk in the hot cream mixture. Add it little by little so as not to curdle the eggs. Add the smoked bread cubes and fold until the bread has absorbed most of the custard. Butter the skillet and spoon in the pudding mixture. Sprinkle with the remaining chopped chocolate, pushing the pieces into the bread pudding with a fork. Increase the heat of your smoker to 325 Fahrenheit. Some smokers won't go that high. If not, increase the heat to 275. Smoke the bread pudding until puffed and brown on top and the custard is set, which is 40 to 60 minutes at the higher temperature, 1 to 1.5 hours at the lower temperature. Insert a metal skewer into the center of the pudding. It should come out clean when the custard is set. Then you serve the bread pudding hot, a la mode, with smoked ice cream if desired. So, Ian Gross is a competition barbecue cook, and he said that even though the recipe was amazing the way it is, he was thinking about flavor profiles and wondering what he could add to wow the judges, and he added a couple pinches of cayenne to the custard for a very slight heat and bourbon in some way. So, what goes better with smoke and chocolate than bourbon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was saying it while you're sitting here. You know, reading the recipe, I was sitting there thinking, imagining, if you drop some strawberries on there, or raspberries, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, there you go. Chocolate raspberries and stuff.
Yep. And, I mean, this, I think, would be a great base, and you could take this as a foundation and tweak it any which way, because, you know, chocolate bread pudding.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like you said, throw in some raspberries. Strawberries, I think, would do just fine. You could add in, you know, different sorts of ice cream if you wanted. I think this would be a very versatile dish, and this did take first in the dessert competition at the Champion of Grill competition in New Jersey. So
there you go.
It has been vetted.
And it has been validated.
Yeah. And so I tell you what, we were talking about it over the break, and I just got to give a shout-out to Red Oaks Barbecue on those wings.
Oh, yeah.
Just... So, Bunny brought us over, or I think it was
Red Oaks brought him.
Yeah, Mike brought it himself. He brought us over a couple of wings, and, you know, we bit into these, and these have got to be the best wings I've ever tried, just hands down. You know, smoked to perfection, delicious, savory, amazing. And he then waited till we had finished to inform us that these wings had no sauce and no rub.
Right.
And Lyle and I both looked at him like, huh? And all he had used on these wings was a brine with a very specific concoction of sugars that kind of set up and sort of caramelized to give you that nice, sticky, just awesome texture.
I know they were some plump wings, too.
Oh, yeah.
And just fall, you know, it wasn't just fall off the bone, but it didn't take much effort to get them off the bone.
Yeah, you could get it off with your tongue.
Yeah. So, hey, I want to remind everybody that this recipe and all the other recipes we have used this, you know, over the weeks, you can go to our website at ESPN1073.com and download them to your computer, and it would be well worth it.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'll post links to those websites where you can find these things, the Barbecue Bible, Ian Gross's post on there. And honestly, if you want to look at it, even if you're not going to make it, the pictures are worth it.
Well, you're not going to find this on any Weight Watchers guide, you know. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
And so what? We're barbecuers. We don't care.
Oh, good Lord, no.
We're the full-figured group. So, you know, Colin, I want to thank you for going last week with me.
Yeah, that was fun.
We had a blast. The people up there, I want to shout out to, like I said, KCBS, Rich and Bunny Tuttle. I'm looking forward to us going to Little Rock. And next week, I want people to tune in because we're going to start playing our interviews that we did. And the first one, this group is a hoot. They're from Tokyo, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them couldn't talk English. And their interpreter
was a cowboy.
Yeah, he was the sheriff. And his English wasn't really that great either, so you're going to have to probably listen.
He knew the keywords. He knew tequila,
good,
you know, vodka,
tequila, good,
whiskey.
Yeah. And
yeah, I bet he'd be fun to party with.
Oh.
And that is my one regret, is that we didn't just have time to, you know, take an hour and sit down with every group. Like, you know, we went over and talked to Oklahoma Joe's, and we had to pull ourselves away from there.
Yeah.
We were just sitting there. Everyone was sitting around the table, and it was just a fun group of guys to talk to.
And we were all welcome. They said, hey, yeah, pull up a chair. We're going to visit with you.
And to anyone listening from my hometown of Eureka, you'd be surprised how many Eureka High School graduates you find at the American Royal. I counted two or three. You know, I'd tell people, they'd say St. Louis area. I'm like, oh, whereabouts? They'd say Fenton. I'm like, oh, I'm from Eureka. They'd say, oh, I went to Eureka High School.
Yeah. And you know, that's the great part. So you had family there really in a roundabout way, but you didn't even know about
it. Oh, yeah. It's such a small world.
It is. And, you know, like, the one interview we did with Butch's Barbecue, he remembered my daughter when we competed against him.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a fairly memorable character.
Oh, yeah, she will get to you. So, well, it's time to wrap things up. The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. The show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. Don't forget, you can always listen to a podcast of this show. Go to our website at ESPN1073.com, click programming, and the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.
You've been listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast. Saturdays from 9 till 10 a.m. on ESPN 107.3.